sun. The fairies are drowned. Am I filled with sand?
Listening to WMFO Bedford.
My tongue and my mouth is stiff. Feels like I'm hanging off the edge of a cliff. WMFO, Tufts Free Form Radio, right here in Medford. 10:07 in the morning on Saturday the 26th. I was going to say June. No, it's March. That's just me. I wish it were June. And Mike on the mic here until 11 a.m., right? Yeah, that's when I'm here, too. And something about the women's here. Then we had sort of a short set. Here, let me tell you what we played, and then we're going to talk to our in-studio guest who's smiling at me across the table, Kirsten Manville. First of all, though, we started with something new, very exciting, for sure. Just turning my headphones down so I won't blow my brains out. It was brand new from Bob Mould, awfully happy whenever he's got something new. I'm led to believe that it's the title track of his new record called Voices in My Head. Led Zeppelin after that, of course, from Physical Graffiti, that was Kashmir. And I was just telling Kirsten how much I love the Stripes. STRYPES, the Stripes, from their Snapshot CD in 2014. That was one of many great tracks on there called Hometown Girls. All right, everybody. Kirsten and I have been talking for a couple weeks now on Facebook, looking forward to this.
Yeah.
So let me introduce you to Wakefield, Mass's own Kirsten Manville here.
Thanks,
in WMFO.
Mike.
How
it's
are
great
you?
To be here. I'm good. This is a very cool place to be.
These
albums, vinyl albums, all over the place.
I know. I've put a couple of pictures up. And we take pictures sometimes afterwards in front of the albums. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great space. And, if you look to your right over there, of course you guys can just imagine it. There's a whole console in there. And beyond that is a room for live bands to be mic'd up and everything. Across the way is a production studio and a green room. It's just great. I mean, Tufts is legit here. So yeah. I'm surprised you've never been here before.
No, this is my first time here. Yeah.
That's really pretty cool. For sure. And you had no trouble with my directions?
I didn't. I got here just fine and on time. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those people, too. I like to be on time.
Yep.
So thank you for that. So you spent some time in Nashville, but I know you didn't grow up there. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Reading, Mass.
Okay.
Not too far from where I am now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. And when was, when you were a kid, we were just talking about somebody that we used to share watching a TV show.
Yes.
So when you were a kid, Barbara Mandrell and her sisters.
Yeah.
Is that the first artist that really got your attention?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely the first artist that got my attention. I was actually, my brother and I were only allowed to watch an hour of TV every day.
That's probably a good thing.
Probably, in retrospect. At the time, I wasn't thrilled about it. But
but
we used to watch a couple of sitcoms on Saturday nights, and then Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell sisters came on right after.
They had one of those variety shows
that
used to be, you know.
So I used to try to sneak to watch a little of it, and then my dad finally one night called us back downstairs out of bed and said we could come down and watch it.
Oh.
And I think, I mean, my brother came down. I don't think he was that excited about it, but I loved it. And
yeah, I did too.
Did not miss a week. And it, just the fact that they weren't, you know, they weren't just singing. These were three women who are also multi-instrumentalists, and they were doing comedy, and they just, it was their
whole
show.
Whole variety show, yeah. And
so
two other sisters, I don't remember their names.
Earlene and Louise.
Earlene, lovely name.
Very Southern
name. It's
names.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right, so you're in Reading, and you're watching Barbara Mandrell along with me, unbeknownst to me. And so going through school and all of that, was the guitar the first thing you picked up, or did you do other instruments?
No, actually, the piano was the first thing I learned.
I play that too.
Cool.
Yep.
My grandfather, my maternal grandfather, was a musician. He put himself through medical school by playing in a big band. He played clarinet and saxophone, but he also played the piano. So when I was very little and I was visiting him, I would go and he would teach me scales and that kind of thing.
That's so nice.
It was great. And again, it's one of those things, looking back, it just seemed normal at the time to me, right? I was going to grandpa's he was going to teach me scales, but, So I started with piano, and then I took up flute when I was in fifth grade. So I actually didn't start playing the guitar until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still a very basic guitar player. I just kind of do enough to accompany myself. So.
Well, the guitar is beautiful. You've got some little flowery things around there.
It's it's a Luna. They're made for women, so they're very light, and the neck is thinner and that kind of thing. So,
I
love
really
it.
Really nice.
I love it.
So, in 1995... Where were you in 1995 in your life?
In 1995, I had just graduated from college, and I moved to Nashville in the fall of 95.
And I know it's the music capital of the world, but why Nashville? I mean, I know that the Mandrells are country and all that.
Yep.
Was that it?
Yeah, and I kept as I grew up, I definitely listened to pop, 80s pop, Come on Eileen.
Okay.
You know,
see, I've never admitted that. No, I mean, no.
Yeah, I'll admit it. I definitely, you know, listened to all that stuff, but I was also really into country music at the time and learned about, like, Roy Acuff and, you know, the artists that were big at that time, too, in the 80s.
Kenny Rogers,
Randy Travis.
Yeah, I mean, crossover. I mean, country was pop.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's so popular, but by then, back then, it was just sort of part of what we heard on Top 40 Radio.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I was really into it, and I loved it, and that's when I also started to figure out, you know, that you could write these kind of songs, and I started to write, and I wanted to move to Nashville and just kind of see what it was like, so
What was it like?
It was great.
you were there for a long time.
It's about 6 years, it was really great. You know, there's such an energy there, and I got there and I met all these people who also wanted to talk about songwriting as much as I did, which I was like, this is amazing. You know, there are other people who really think about songs and how they're put together and are trying to write good ones and performing. And it was probably the first time I was really in a place where, you know, more than one or two people were going through the same experience as I was. So.
I would think it's rather competitive because everybody's trying to make it that's there.
You know, it is a little bit... was more than a little bit competitive. It is competitive, but it's also supportive at the same time, especially as a songwriter, because you're always just trying to write the best song possible. So if you can bring someone else in to help you write the best song possible, that's what you do. You don't worry about if you're going to have to share royalties later or some silly thing like that. You know, you're trying to serve the song. So
first of all, I suppose that you served the song by yourself and you just sort of played open mics and stuff.
I did that. They have open mics, and then they also have what are called writer's nights, which is kind of like an open mic, except that it's booked in advance and you play in rounds. You know, so you each take turns playing a different song. That's kind of the popular way to perform down there. So I did a lot of those as well.
Now, had you performed in front of an audience before you got to Nashville before?
I had performed in front of many audiences, but as a classical... like either as a classical flutist or a classical voice student or, you know, when I was much younger, piano recitals, that kind of thing. It was definitely a learning experience for me to be up there using a microphone.
And a guitar, which is not your...
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so learning to use a microphone is actually a skill. You know, I kind of got up on stage the first time and I was too far away from it and then I was too close to it.
Because you can really affect the dynamics of it by moving far away and it looks kind of cool too because it looks like you know what you're doing. But it really does do something. It's
it
not
really
just for
does.
Show.
It's exactly. Yeah, and I was used to, you know, as a classical vocalist, you stand up on stage, you don't have any amplification, so you're really projecting and that's not what you should do when your mouth is an inch away from the microphone.
Right, because that's what that does. It projects you.
Yeah.
So you're playing, how many years out of the six did you play solo before you came across this guy Dave?
So I played in Nashville solo the whole time. The whole 6 years. And even when I moved back here, I started going out to open mics as a solo artist and I met Dave at an open mic.
And why in 2006 did you decide, all right, Nashville, I'm done with you, I'm going back home?
It was actually earlier. It was 2001, right? Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
I don't know. It was your life.
Yeah.
Let's just make it up as we go along.
If I make it up, it might be more interesting.
No.
It was a few different things. So I sort of came to Nashville in 1995 in sort of the height of the country music business, and it sort of went downhill in the 6 years I was there. A lot of writers were getting laid off. A lot of record labels were closing. And, you know, I would still come back up here to visit, and Boston area had a really thriving music scene. I also just, you know, missed my family and my friends up here. And I had great friends in Nashville, but it's a very transitive city. A lot of people come, they give themselves 2 years to see if they can make it big or whatever, and then they leave again. So I also was kind of just making new sets of friends every couple of years or whatever.
Because it's so transient.
Because it is so transient.
Yeah.
And that started to bother me a little. I thought I want a place where I have history with people and that kind of thing. You know, and my good friends don't move away. So
it makes a lot of sense. And you also, you know, sort of got to hone your skills down there. And then when things started to be in the decline, probably a good idea to come back home.
Yeah.
And when you did, I mean, you came back as a different person.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
So what was that like? And let's talk about the aforementioned Dave.
Well, for one thing, I definitely came back with a little bit of a Southern accent, which I think is gone now. But
yeah, I wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah. So that was something my family
say Lake Quanaponnet for me. Private joke for Wakefieldians. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah, started going out to open mics, and I met Dave at one, and he just came up and said, you know, if you ever need someone to play with or whatever, here's my number, or can I have your number? And for some reason, I decided he was okay. You know, just wasn't the strange, creepy guy coming up to me. I decided he's not a creepy guy. And I gave him my number. And he started to call me. Even before we started to play together, he started to call me just to come out to gigs. Like, if he was doing a gig, he'd invite me to come out and play, like, 4 or 5 songs.
So he was at an open mic that you were at, but you had never seen him play.
No.
Okay.
Well, I saw him play at that open mic.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So that's
good. Yeah. But that was the first time we'd met. And then he was in a band, and it broke up, and I was trying to put a little band together, and gave him a call, and he came over and jammed with us, and we were like, this is cool.
Five years later, you know, 2006, dreams that just won't let go.
Yeah.
You and Dave.
Me and Dave, yep.
Yep. So you just started recording, or was it a, you know...
We had been playing live long enough and people kept asking us if we had a CD at gigs, you know, if they could buy something.
Yep.
And for a long time, we played as a trio. We were playing with another woman named Laura Babineau, who eventually moved to Austin in 2005. And after she moved, we took a little time and decided if we wanted to try to find someone else to continue to be a trio, if we wanted to change the trio's name was Northern Edge. So we decided just to kind of retire Northern Edge. Laura was not replaceable. And became Kirsten and Dave. And at that time, we said, all right, it's time to record. So we did.
Okay. Yeah. And that's not the only one that you did with Dave.
No.
You know, you've got two more.
Yep.
Including, and they came out pretty close to, well, not really. I mean... You know, about 3 years later, there was Things You Learn.
Yep.
In March of that year, and then three years after that, or so, it was a Holiday EP.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are still working on stuff together.
Yeah, we're actually going in the studio on Wednesday to start another EP, the two of us. So I'm hoping he and I will do the EP together, and then I'm hoping later in this year I'll start my second solo album. So,
And speaking of solo albums, your first one came out in 2013.
Yeah, very end of 2013, yep.
Yep, and it was called Come With Me.
Yeah.
And you definitely saw some success there.
I did. I'm very happy with what the CD has done and how it turned out and everything. So
what was the recording process? Because you were used to working with somebody else. How did it change when you were, you know, from you and Dave to just you?
Well, so Dave and I, you know, we've worked together long enough that we sort of have this kind of system about, you know, if it's his song, he sort of gets the last word. If it's my song, I get the last word. But we're definitely very collaborative. And it's nice to have that. It's nice to have the ideas to bounce off of or whatever.
That's my point exactly. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, you make all the decisions. Right. Yeah.
Just me. I mean, Brian Mace produced and engineered the album, and he's great. And I also, the musicians that play on the album, I'm always just like, you know, here's a rough track. This is what I'm thinking of, but come show me what you think fits. And especially the fiddle player that I work with, she'll come with like 3 different parts she has worked out and be like, I did this and I did that and what do you think? So I definitely take a lot of input from the musicians and from Brian. And, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, it is up to me and I sort of have to make the final decision, but I'm definitely not doing it all by myself.
Anymore. Yeah. So did you record this in the same place that you did?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Is that local around here?
It's in Lynn. It's like I said, Brian Mace. It's called Briola Studios. And I don't know, some listeners might recognize his name. He was in RTZ back in the 80s and has his solo thing now. And he was also the lead singer of Ernie and earning the automatics while they were gigging.
I'm thinking of new car dealerships now.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like I said, you definitely saw some success with Come With Me. Come With Me was a top five pick in June 2014, just the second year of its release. And Metronome Magazine was featured you on the cover.
They did.
In August 2014.
Cool.
I mean, you're a cover girl.
I guess so. I didn't think about it that way, but I guess so. Although they feature four artists on the cover, so I'm one fourth of a cover girl.
Okay. You didn't, you know, nobody would know. You didn't have to say that. You should have said, "Yeah, it was just me." But that's pretty cool.
It is. It was very cool.
And the, in that very issue, there was a reviewer named Douglas Sloan, and he had this to say about you. Are you a blusher?
I was going to say you're about to make me blush, but it's radio, so I guess that's okay.
With naturally gifted vocal command, Manville explores the intricacies of love, life, and the finer things with a sharp eye on details. Her lyrics are heartfelt and genuine and delivered with just the right amount of instinct and emotion. That's high praise.
Yeah, I was...
That was about you. That's not somebody else. That's you.
That's me. Wow. No, it's very cool. I was really happy with that review. Very happy to be a top five pick. I mean, I really couldn't ask for more. So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Well, I think everybody out there is chomping at the bit now to hear some of this. There are a couple of songs that you had on that album that charted. The first one I'm going to play is called A Simple Life. What can you tell me about that one?
So that song came about, I was playing a live show, and after the show, a woman came up to me and said, you know, "Kirsten, I just picture you at home writing songs about flowers." And I thought, okay, I don't think I've ever done that, but if that's how she pictures me, that's fine.
There's flowers on your guitar.
There's flowers on my guitar.
And flowers on your strap.
So maybe she's onto something. Yeah. But I never actually, you know, done that. And that was a Saturday, and the next morning I got up and I thought, well, I'll put flowers in the first line of a song and see where it takes me. And I picked daisies because they're my mom's favorite flower, and just kind of went and came out with A Simple Life.
Okay, everybody, this is Kirsten Manville and A Simple Life here at WMFO.
Joe shined up his old truck, turned the radio to her favorite song. They'll drive down to the lake and park underneath the stars. They'll make a little love and fall asleep in each other's arms. Down by the railroad tracks, they'll take kisses Joe goodnight and never tells him she's 2 weeks late. John wonders if Jim and Mike realize it was a year ago today. They buried his sister, yeah, cancer, won that fight, and soon waits for her husband to stumble in like he does every night.
WMFO with Kirsten Manville there, again from her record called Come With Me, A Simple Life. Not too bad being the boss of you. Sounded great. Sounded
Thanks.
Great.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right. Well, why don't we, well, you brought the guitar. You may as well use it.
I did.
All right. So you wanted to do a track that we were talking about you and Dave and what you're doing and something that you're working on.
Yeah.
So this is a non-released track.
Yeah, this is one of the tracks that we're going to put on the EP we're going to start on Wednesday night, actually. We're going back into the studio. So this came, I hope this guitar is coming through the mic.
Yeah, can it stretch down closer?
Let's see. Here.
Without your smacking it with your hand every time you play it?
I don't want that to happen either. Let's see. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this song, I was watching the news one night, which I never do. Because I hate watching the news. I like to get my news reading. Especially if you're watching it right before you go to bed. It's very disturbing to me.
And news these days is such a pleasure to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
But I did watch it this one night, and at one point the anchor woman said, well, that's reason enough to be blue. And I thought, well, that sounds like a song.
That's reason enough to name a song,
yeah,
Reason Enough.
Exactly.
All right, everybody, live in Studio A. Everybody, it's Kirsten with Reason Enough at WMFO.
My old guitar won't play any songs. Sits in the corner and gathers dust. And that pretty penny I carry with me seems to have gone and run out of luck. And the weather's bitter cold, and these bones are feeling old. And that's reason enough to be blue. That's reason enough to be blue. Time slips away, memories fade, old friends they fall out of touch. Gray streaks my hair, I try not to care. The scale shows 5 pounds too much, and I've had my share of regret. Moments I'd rather forget. And that's reason enough to be blue. That's reason enough to be blue. And if that all weren't reason enough, to learn to live without your love. Dinner for one, I turn the TV on and try to feel the silence somehow. Lost in the past and why we didn't last. I wonder what it is you're doing now. I talk to my mama on the phone. Then I go to bed alone. And that's reason enough to be blue. That's reason enough to be blue. That's reason enough. Ooh. Ooh.
It's WMFO, everybody. Thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you.
So that will definitely be a duet between you and Dave.
So I'll still sing lead on that song, but yeah, Dave does a beautiful, usually if I'm doing it with him, after the bridge and before the third verse, he does a really beautifully haunting guitar solo. So he does great lead guitar on that, and he might do a little harmony and something like that, but
okay, yeah. So is he only a guitar player as well? Does he do...
No, he writes and he sings and he plays mandolin and ukulele.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And we're both... He's a better bass player than I am, but we both try to fiddle around on bass for the recording process and do our own bass lines. So I have to actually work on that for this song.
Have you started recording any of these yet?
No. We've gotten together and kind of talked about what we're going to record, and but we're literally our first night is Wednesday. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay, maybe I can hear you from my house.
Maybe.
Thanks.
We'll be over in Lynn, though, so we'd have to be really loud.
My ears are great.
Your ears are great? Okay.
Yeah. All right, so before we go into another track from your record, we wanted to talk about something that you're involved with, the Somerville Songwriter Sessions.
Yeah.
What it is it takes place the first Saturday of every month, which is next Saturday, mm-hmm. Except in July and August, probably because the air conditioning doesn't work very well in that place. It's at the Armory Cafe in Somerville.
It is.
It's an interesting venue. I mean, in the back room, it's a big room, but you got to stand up, but in the front where I imagine this is, it's
yes.
a little cafe,
yep, exactly.
with a stage, and it's just awesome. It's really nice. And so next week you're going to be there, and you're one of the producers, and as one of the producers you host a couple of shows per year.
Yep.
And so you and two other songwriters will each play 20 minute sets for the first half and then perform in the round,
right,
which is great. I love that. In the second half, and Bob Warren and Nick Zeno will be with you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I was asked to do this by a couple of other singer-songwriters that I know. The series itself has been going on for a number of years, and the producers kind of rotate in and out, and I was asked mm-hmm. to do this back in November, starting 2016. So right now it's myself, Beth DeSombri, Terry Kitchen, and Susan Catania, who are the producers, and we're the ones that kind of... you know, do the booking and the publicity and yep. all that stuff. So this is my first show that I'll be hosting,
okay.
and I'm excited. Like you said, it's a great venue, nice sound,
it
great
is.
Food. They serve beer and wine.
Yep.
They have free parking, which mm-hmm. is amazing in Somerville.
And to get in, it's a suggested donation of $10.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And where does that donation go to? To the Armory itself? Or?
It goes to the musicians, directly to okay. the musicians who are playing. Yeah.
Very cool.
So my friend Bob is coming down from the Saratoga Springs area of New York, and Nick is a local guy, so I'm excited to have them both. It'll be fun.
So that's next Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, April
2nd.
I know it's going to be April. Isn't that crazy?
I can't believe it. And what time does it start?
8 p.m.
Okay. And is there a website you can go to find out more about that?
There is the...
There's a Facebook page, I see.
Yeah, and there's also a Tumblr, and they're both Somerville Songwriter Sessions.
So. Okay, so on Facebook, anyway, it's Somerville Songwriter Sessions, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out about that. And if you haven't been to the Somerville Armory, it's a great venue. And it's even better because Kirsten will be there with a couple of buddies.
Yeah, like I said, it should be fun. And every first Saturday of the month, except in the summer, there's good music going on. So come check it out.
Okay, so let's play another track off of your record, Come With Me. And this one's Play My Guitar, which also charted pretty well.
Yeah, this was charted on Women of Substance Radio, which is an internet radio station that, as you can imagine, features either women artists or bands with women as the lead singer.
Yeah.
So, I was very pleasantly surprised to find out I'd made the top 20 back in, I think it was about a year ago, last March. So this is it.
Okay. This is called Play My Guitar. And after this, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of your favorite artists and songs that really influenced you.
Mm-hmm.
Right after this. Okay, everybody, this is Kirsten again and Play My Guitar at WMFO.
I wonder about God and the meaning of life, all the shades of gray between black and white. This wondering could keep me up all night, but I think I'll just play my guitar. If I just play my guitar, favorite pair of jeans, but nothing's ever as bad as it seems if I just play my guitar. So I think I'll just play my guitar. Yeah, I think I'll just play my guitar.
WMFO, Toss Freeform Radio, right here in Medford. Again, that was Miss Kirsten Manville and Play My Guitar from that Come With Me CD that came out in 2013.
Yeah.
All right. So what we like to do here on the Mic show is talk to you about how you became you and how you knew that you really wanted to do this. So you've provided a couple of artists that really meant something to you. And we're going to play two of them. And the first one really goes back a couple of years for sure. Why don't you talk about the first one and why?
Sure. The first song actually, it's not so much the artist, although I do like the artist, but one of my first albums of my dad's that I just kind of played over and over again was the American Graffiti soundtrack, the double album, and, you know, the vinyl, and you double them up on the record player and they drop. And
I remember.
Yeah. And I just, you know, playing Barbie with my Barbies, I would just like listen to it over and over again.
That's one thing I can't say. Oh, me too. No, I can't do that.
Or if you did, you're not going to admit it on air. But yeah. So I wanted to pick a song from the American Graffiti soundtrack, and this is one of my favorites, Runaway by Del Shannon.
It's amazing. All right, everybody, here's Del Shannon at WMFO.
stand on sacred ground, where once the night found us in the twilight.
Everybody, it's WMFO once again, and Mike on the mic here with Kirsten Manville. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This Good. Has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been fun. You can tell. I'm just fine. No, I'm always a little manic in here. But that was a beautiful song by Trisha Yearwood, Lying to the Moon. And that's one of the ones that you suggested as somebody who really meant a lot to you, means a lot to you. How did that influence what you do?
Yeah, so this song's actually kind of a two-for-one. Trisha Yearwood is a huge influence vocally, but the writer of that song, Matresa Berg, is one of my favorite writers of all time. So I thought, well, if I pick a song that Trisha sang by Matresa, I just love the imagery in it. And the thing about Trisha's vocals is they're so emotional. She has those little turns of the voice and the little kind of catches and... I think she's really just an expert at song interpretation and what she's getting across to the listener. And then Matresa Berg, just her way with melody and imagery and everything. I just, it's sort of, it's one of those things that I aspire to, so.
It was just a beautiful vocal, yeah. Yeah. I just realized we have, as Sue was telling me, we have more time than I thought. Since you brought the guitar up and everything, if you want to do something else live, in addition to playing the Brandi Clark, we've got queued up, you could do that. Would you like to do that?
I mean, sure, I can try to do, I'll do a short one.
I'd have the Jewish guilt if you didn't play one more thing, since you're sitting there with the guitar.
Well, we can't have that.
Brandi Clark is great.
All right. Well, we'll do Brandi out right afterwards. But what do you want to play?
So this is short. This is one of the ones, I think I wrote it or started writing it last summer, but it's hopefully going to be on my second solo album. One of my favorite things about summer is being able to hang my sheets on the line and let them dry. Mm-hmm. So this is where this song came from.
What's it called?
It's called A Little Bit of Heaven.
Oh, awesome.
I hung our sheets out to dry on the backyard clothesline. And when we crawl in bed tonight, we'll smell summer and sweet sunshine. And that's a little bit of heaven. That's a little bit of heaven right here. Berries bubble in a flaky crust, topped with cream I just whipped up. Sugar glaze melts on my tongue, each bite better than the last one. That's a little bit of heaven. That's a little bit of heaven right here. They say paradise is waiting on the other side, but I say heaven's just a state of mind. Rain rattles that old tin roof. Radio is singing the blues. We got the couch pushed against the door, so we can dance across the living room floor. That's a little bit of heaven. That's a little bit of heaven right here. That's a little bit of heaven. That's a little bit of heaven right here.
That was terrific. Kirsten, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For doing another one live. That was really nice.
Thanks.
Really nice. All right. It's 10:53, everybody, in the morning. So we've got to get out of here soon. But I do want to play one more of your requests for influences. Talk a little bit about Brandi Clark, and we'll play that. Come back and say goodbye to you and hello to Sue.
All right. Yeah, so Brandi Clark is, she's a fairly new artist out of Nashville. And I still follow the country music business down in Nashville. I still read the Tennessean online, but I just have to say that I'm not super excited about what's on country radio right now. But there are a ton of great artists coming out of Nashville that aren't, you know, they're getting played on Americana stations or whatever, and Brandi Clark is one of them. And I think I read a review in Rolling Stone about this album, 12 Stories, and just based on the review, decided to pick it up. And it's a fantastic, a little dark, well, more than a little dark. It's kind of a dark album.
Okay.
But it's a fantastic album, and I just, again, her storytelling and her kind of, the song we're going to play has the phrase pain pill pimp in it. And I just think
Alliteration
and pain pill pimp just is so, it's like you just don't really need to hear much more to kind of know what she's talking about. So,
all right, everybody, this is Brandi Clark. Yeah, I can't wait.
I
now
think she's great.
I can't wait. This is Take a Little Pill, the last of Kirsten's requests here for artists that mean a lot to her at WMFO.
Mama got depressed when daddy was a dying, so the doctor gave her something. Then she couldn't sleep, so he gave her something else. Now there's yellow, red, and pink on her bathroom shelf. Says if one won't work, take a little pill. Fella down the road, he walks with a limp. He's a decorated soldier in a pain pill pimp. Got a loaded gun and an old pit bull, a black Cadillac with a whole trunk full. Says if one won't work, then another one will. Take a little pill, lay it on your tongue. Ain't a nerve that can't be numb. Ain't a buzz that you came by. Ain't a love you can't make high till it wears off like it always will. Take a little pill. Oh, 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 oh. You don't need a needle, you don't need a vein. Don't burn like whiskey, cost like ever lose a lover or want to lose some weight, which you can't cure, you can medicate. If one won't work, then another one will. If you got a little hurt, you take a little pill, lay it on your tongue. Ain't
hi, everybody. It's WMFO, and we got a bunch of people in here now, so...
It's a party. It's getting hot in here.
Bit of a party, yeah. Speaking of that, that Brandi Clark was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, because you know we were just sitting here talking, but my favorite part is listening in my car afterwards so I can really appreciate all of it. But that sounded really gorgeous. I don't know of Brandi Clark, but Sue,
she's
of course
awesome.
You did. Of course you did. All right, so first of all, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. This was great.
It's been like 5-6 weeks we've been talking about this, and yeah. Finally it's all over.
When are you going to come on something about the women?
Let's talk.
What did I say to you?
I told you.
I steal everybody's acts.
Okay, so next week, next Saturday, April 2nd, at the Somerville Armory.
Yes, myself.
And when do the doors open?
The doors, well, it's a cafe, so...
They have doors.
The doors are technically, I think, always open.
Okay.
Except when they're closed. Except when they're closed. No, but I think you can come in whenever, grab some food. I've eaten there. The food's great.
It is.
I think the show...